Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 757. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I didn't realize the American dream now included being followed around 24/7 by your very own poop nurse.
Something for us all to aspire to, especially with that explosive diarrhea lettuce out there. So, Jeff is here as well.
I want a poop nurse.
I mean, it's the American dream, Jeff. Of course you do. Tony just told us. Wow, we're a fucking embarrassment. yeah, we've been away for a couple weeks. The world continues to spin somehow. I don't know.
It'll spin even after we all nuke each other and are all dead. So I'm just saying.
Physics and astronomical science will actually keep it going. The planet
might be better off.
Yeah.
Give a few millennia for that radiation to wear off. Life will find a way. That's what Jurassic Park told us.
And, I mean, Jurassic Park is, you know, the most true of all documentaries we've ever seen. So, we played some video games though. There's been some news. Everything is on fire. The whole industry sucks. We cover this every time. I don't really know where to broach any of the new news. So let's everything sucks. It's all on fire. Games are coming out though. People are losing their jobs. That's where it stands. I guess there was one bit of cool news. I don't know if this had released the last time we talked. They're bringing original Xbox games to PC. It sounds like Xbox 360 games will show up sometime within either between the end of the year or early next year. So you'll be able to play your library everywhere. So they will actually make good on that promise. So.
That's cool. I did not realize that you could not play those games on the PC because I'm not a PC gamer. But
Conquer Live and Reloaded is ready for you, Jeff. It's waiting.
Yeah,
they re-uploaded it on the Xbox as well.
And then they're going to get achievements, those original Xbox games. Some of them, I guess.
But like Conquer right now on Xbox does not have achievements, right?
No, okay. That's coming later. Okay. So I would wait if you want to play it. Just
I probably don't want to play it, but if I was going to.
Yeah,
there's going to be like 20-year-old jokes about movies in there.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan references.
We can see
how The Matrix.
Have they aged well?
I don't know. I think that game is still pretty good for what it is, but you know, it's old game now, like very old game.
I tried to play it, and it was probably about 5 years or so ago. It doesn't look good anymore.
Yeah,
and there are some things in there that are just like, this is just bad design. Like there's some fun stuff too, but there's some bad design in it.
When it came out, I thought it was the best Rare game, but I was never like, I don't think I ever at that time had played through Banjo-Kazooie, but what I thought was really awesome when it came out, like I was a freshman in college, we played mm-hmm. the fuck out of the multiplayer, dude. Capture the Flag, we played a ton of that. Like it was in the rotation. It was like Perfect Dark. I'm trying to think what we did freshman year of college. I know Perfect Dark was a lot of it. But Conquer was like right up there. Like,
hey, like the N64 was great for those four player split screen.
Oh, Mario Tennis, we played a fuck ton of the original.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. They're good games. They're good like dorm games,
and they were all like current at the time.
Yeah, Mario Kart, like, you know, tons of good multiplayer games on the N64. Yeah, so that's coming. Evidently, you'll also be able to put a disc in. You're like a 360 disc in or an original Xbox disc, and that will give you a digital license for it. I don't know how they're going to... everywhere. So like if you... as long as that game is like able to... Because there are games that still aren't... Like they're not playable on Xbox One or Series X. So if they get the license for them, you'll be able to do it. But otherwise, yeah. Like, I'll use Gears as an example because I know that's there. Like, if you have the disc for Gears of War 1, you'll be able to put that in your Series X or your PC, and it should be able to read it, and it will grant you a digital license. Now, what I've read about it is that if, like, you were to then hand that off to somebody else and they put it in, it would revoke your license. So if they try to redeem a license, if the disc redeems a different license on a different account, it revokes your license until you get that disc back. Mm. But otherwise, it's a digital copy that is based on your disc. So they're doing some sort of disc to digital transition. And I think Tony, you had an article last time about digital games, well, physical games are not, not selling at all. Sony's basically come out. There's been a lot of vocal pushback from the online crowd about them cutting discs, but Sony basically said, we're still doing it. Like, we hear you, but we're still doing it because it just doesn't make financial sense.
I feel like it's the same crowd that got all upset when Xbox became all they were trying to do that. You have to be connected to the internet all the time.
Yep.
It's like the same objections, except now, do you ever play your Xbox when you're not connected to the internet or any of your systems? No.
Well, there's an outage.
So
the way things are now, I don't.
Yeah, I mean that does suck, and they should find a way to allow at least games that are like, you know, if you have a game installed on your hard drive, you should be able to play that offline as long as it's not an always online game. Like,
sure.
So they should find a way to fix that. But yeah, otherwise, the network's down. I can't download GTA 5.
No,
because it's not on my hard drive. Like, I mean,
I'm always like, I want to get achievements. Like, I can't do that if I'm not.
Yeah, if you're not connected or can't play any multiplayer, can't talk to people. I don't even think about it. Like, I don't think, am I connected to the internet? I just turn it on. I am connected to the internet. Like, it's just that's what it is. Even the Switch, right? Like it connects to your Wi-Fi, or you probably don't even think about it. I do know that the Switch, though, like it does the same thing Xbox and PlayStation do, where it checks in. Like, I know every once in a while I'll boot up one of those apps, like the NES app or Super Nintendo app. And if I haven't used it in a bit, it will be like, we need to check if you can access the software. And it does like a background check. And it's like, yeah, you have a Nintendo online account with us. Go ahead, play away. So that's the same thing. I think you're right, Tony. I think it's just the same vocal people that.
Yeah. I mean, they can cause a lot of harm. We saw it with the Xbox. They did. But eventually, you know, you have to come around to the way that things actually are, and it's really hard to transmit data. Like, even when you get discs now, like, the game's not on there. Most of it.
Yeah.
let's not pretend that the first thing that happens, you put the thing in, and then it downloads, like, a 54 gigabyte patch to the game that's on your disc. Like, it's not there. It's not there. Delusional and object.
Yeah. So I guess there's rumor that the next Xbox will have a disk drive. I don't know what that means, because Xbox has been they're not really prolific with their discs anyway. Like, some of their own games don't come out on discs. But I guess having the option there is like one way to kind of poke at Sony and be like, well, we allow it. I don't know who's going to support it, but we have a disc drive. I will miss it if it's not on there, just because, like, Jeff, probably same with you. Do you use your Xbox as a Blu-ray player?
I did until I stopped playing 4Ks.
Okay.
So now the only time I turn my PS5 on is when I want to watch a 4K. But I actually stopped buying physical movies, even like here and there I'll buy one, like very rare. Like, I went for a period there, like, I have a fucking, like, half my living room is fucking shelving of fucking 4Ks and Blu-rays, and I'm just like, at some point I ran out of space. But then I was also like, dude, when are you gonna watch these fucking movies again? Like, you've seen them, time is precious.
Yeah, anyways, and there are movies that you will go watch over and over and over again, but it's not going to be like the thousand. Right, but you're not going to watch like hundreds of different movies over and over again.
Yeah,
I'm same boat. Like, I hit a point before you did, but I was like, I'm just, why am I buying every movie I like? They don't need my money, and I don't have any space anymore.
And now I do buy movies digitally, but it's often like my favorite movies I see in the theaters, I tend to not buy them because I've seen it. I end up buying the movies that I did not get to see in the theaters that I don't want to wait for the rental price, like the $6. Yeah. So like, there's a bunch of movies I own digitally that are movies that are like, I thought were okay.
Just, but then there's like, patient.
But then there's like, I saw The Long Walk in theaters. I loved it. And at some point in the fall, after its theatrical run last year, at some point in the fall, it was like on sale for like $5. I was like, fuck yeah. I've watched it zero times. Like, I used to be much more of a movie rewatcher, but now I'm just like, there's so many TV shows, there's so many like games and everything that come, like, catch up on, that I'm just like, why are you rewatching movies? Like, you know what's gonna happen. Like, replaying games, I'm different. I do still replay games a ton, but less so with the movies.
Yeah, there's just so much. But so you use your PlayStation now as like a Blu-ray player if you're gonna watch one physically.
Yeah,
got it. Okay, so yeah,
you know, but it might be a game that they put out one day. We'll see.
I mean, you don't really have much interest in Wolverine, right? Like,
not really. I don't know. I guess if it gets like amazing reviews, maybe. But like, to be a lot like Spider-Man, where like, that's when I want to go back to. But I found the beginning of that game so boring that I did not want to get to the good stuff because it was just too much bullshit.
I'm excited for Wolverine. I think the fact that I haven't played a Wolverine game will carry me through some of that other stuff. Like, if I hadn't already had the Spider-Man experience, it might have been harder to stop, like I did with Spider-Man 2. And like, I'd already played through Miles Morales. Like, I'd had several Spider-Man games
at that point.
Like,
that were good. Yeah,
But I haven't played a Wolverine game, so.
You ever played that 2009 one, or?
Which was that? X-Men Origins?
Yeah, I didn't play that one.
It's
good. I don't know how it is now, but it was awesome.
At the time, it was
like surprisingly good.
I remember liking that one a lot. That was, when was that? It was on the 360, so.
That was when we still did movie tie-ins.
2009.
I called that shit off the top of my head, bro.
Do movie tie-ins anymore because it takes too long to get to make a game now.
Yeah. That is true.
It takes longer to make a game than it takes to make a movie, which it used to be the other way around.
Shit, man. Nintendo couldn't get a fucking Mario game out for their Mario movie, and it's been 10 years since they put out a fucking 3D Mario.
They couldn't even
Don't
get a
worry.
2D Mario out for
Yeah, I know, right? What the fuck?
it. But yeah, I mean, there's do you like the God of War, the new God of War games, right? Like, did
It's
you play
decent.
Ragnarok? Yeah.
It kind of suffers from the same thing that all Sony games do, where it's like, now we're walking and talking. Yeah.
I
I
never
don't like that
finished
shit.
Ragnarok.
I didn't ever either. I think that was like the first game I bought on my PS5, and I never beat it. I've been meaning to, like, one day I will go back and play Spider-Man 2 and Ragnarok, because I bought the fucking system, right? I might as well.
Yeah. Did you play the Miles Morales
Nah.
Spider-Man? That one's very good and it gets moving
Gets
faster.
to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shorter game, so
Yeah, maybe one day.
yeah, I like that one quite a bit. Yeah, so that's where we're at. The industry is on fire. But some games did come out. And Tony, you've been playing one of the newer ones, Corsair Cove.
Yes.
What is it? It's a pirate
It's
game?
a pirate game. Because I had that disappointing Assassin's Creed pirate experience a few weeks ago. So I saw this
You just
come.
bounced off of that?
I bounced right off of it to a pirate, settlement builder. Premises, you are pirates. You've been captured and you escape. And you end up on this island and you build your own little pirate civilization. It's a pretty typical city builder with his building chains. You have buildings that make food and buildings that make stuff and buildings that make stuff that help other buildings make other stuff. Like it's a whole, like all that stuff is really typical. What's not typical is the settlements are built vertically instead of horizontally. So like
That's
you're
cool.
building up cliff faces.
I can see that in the pictures here.
So like if you're building like tents for your little pirates to live in, like you're building them on the cliff and they're all connected by like bridges and stuff. And as you like unlock more technologies, you can get like zip lines and like elevators and you see your pirates like zipping around. It's kind of that part is cool. The game is it's supposedly at full release, but there's a lot of bugs, like path finding issues where you're like, all right, this building which makes grog is supposed to be sending it to this building over here so the pirates can drink it, but it's not going and there's a bug that's preventing it from going. But one of the most absurd bugs I've had. One of the buildings you build is a dock, which lets you build a pirate ship, and you can send your pirate ships out on missions, which are fun. I'll get into that in a second. But the first dock of the game, it's like build your first dock here, and it tells you exactly where to build it. So there's this thing that says, "Build your first dock." It is stuck on my screen and will not go away. So I've played this game for 8 hours. This pop-up came up in the first 20 minutes. It's still there.
Is it like in like a corner, or is it just like,
It's right in the middle of my settlement. It's like in the worst possible way. And now I'm like, I've played 8 hours. Like, do I start over? It's not going anywhere. I rebooted
right.
the game. Like, you save it, you turn it off, and it's just there. And it hasn't been patched yet. I'm waiting, like, there's got to be a patch that fixes this bug. Like, it's so early on. Our buddy Walt was telling me, like, oh, it's probably because you did the objectives in the wrong order, but the tutorial is linear. You can't do them in the wrong order. You're like stuck. And so this has to be happening to everyone. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's I mean, I just typed in, did I type it? Build dock Corsair Cove glitch, and the first thing that came up is a minor bug, build your port here, note won't go away.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't affect anything, like it doesn't stop you from doing stuff, but it's there, and like this dock is in the middle of the the first settlement part that you're building, so it's like the most important one, the one that gets built out the most, and that stupid message is there. Drives me nuts.
So, and this could be wrong because it's Google's AI, but and you're playing on Xbox or Xbox PC.
I'm playing, right? On PC, yeah,
but not the Steam version.
No, not the Steam version.
Yeah, so this does say if you're playing on Steam, install patch one, load it, play the next, and then it'll go away. But doesn't look like they've updated
they have not updated yet.
So it is a known bug though, so hopefully.
Oh, that's good. That's a good good to know.
That's wild.
Yeah. So you build your dock and you can build then a ship. Each dock you build lets you build one ship. And there's like four different kinds of ships you can build. There's like a warship. There's a ship that's meant for smuggling. There's one that's meant for exploring. I can't remember what maybe commerce is the last one. And you send your ships off on missions. And these missions can be like attacking a ship at sea or attacking a port or whatever happens to be. And they're kind of fun. It's a little like dice rolling game that you play against the AI. And there's a bunch of like selection things that let you get different rewards as you play. That part's kind of fun. As you build up your settlement, it attracts the attention of the Royal Navy, and they'll send ships to attack you. So you have to build like port defenses. Or you can actually send your ships out to attack the Royal Navy as they come in, which I found it to be a little more effective. Plus you get some bonuses for destroying the ships. But I'm enjoying it. It's getting me my pirate fix. It's also getting me my city builder fix, which is it's a cool take on the genre, and it works pretty well. Obviously, it's got some minor bugs that need to be fixed, but maybe at some point they'll pay enough money to Xbox to let them patch it there too. Hope.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that it's a fun game. It just needs
It's definitely fun.
Good. I played a new game too that is fun, but we all knew it was fun because we all played it like 25 years ago. Halo Campaign Evolved came out. Hey guys, it's Halo.
Oh no, really?
It's Halo. It's yep, that's what it is. I've beaten the main campaign. And yeah, it feels like Halo. Yes, there's a sprint in it. I don't think there's a couple clips of like people just like running past enemies. Now, I don't know if they're playing on easy, because I found on normal that like your shields go down pretty quick and then your health goes down pretty quick.
Yeah. So, it's like once your shields are down, you are super vulnerable. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's Halo. It's been a while since I played a Halo. So I was like, oh yeah, like you could get fucking wrecked pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I played and beat it on normal, and like I died a healthy amount of times. Like, just, you know, you overextend yourself, you get caught in the middle of a firefight, a hunter like gets
someone
a little too close
to you. Grenade.
Yep. Oh, the one thing that, and I don't remember this from like the original Xbox or 360 Halos, when the grunts, especially the suicide grunts that like will charge at you with the two plasma grenades out. One, if you shoot them, the grenades kind of like they'll keep going forward because the grunt was moving forward at the time. But they'll also drop a like an other grenade, like a backup grenade. And if that grenade is close enough to the plasma grenades that the grunt was running at you with, that will also explode after the original plasmas that were already activated go off. So like you might think like, oh, I avoided it, but then you'll get a secondary explosion from the other ones.
Oh no.
So I like ran in a couple times and was like, fuck. First, like I overextended myself. Look, it's Halo. It's a really great campaign. Always has been. Still a really great campaign. I think it looks great. It plays like you expect Halo to play. I think like if you're looking for the exact same playing, it's not that. Like the guns handle a little more like Infinite does. But I don't know. It seems good.
I mean, if you want the exact same play,
you can.
Can't you just play Master Chief Collection?
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. You could play the original version, or you could play it with the anniversary, like the original remake with the anniversary visuals. You can play both like versions of it.
All the things that they added later on in the series, the genre later on, I think it was smart to reapply them back to the original so that it doesn't feel as old. And I don't think it hurts the original at all having like a sprint in there or being able to pick up a sword or any of that. Like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, so you couldn't pick up the sword in the original, right? Like,
yeah,
that wasn't
at least
there.
That's what I've been told. Yeah,
I don't remember, like, because. Because you've been able to.
Because it's like ingrained in you now. It's just same with sprinting. It's like I think you couldn't even jack vehicles in the original, and I think you can now. Although I haven't seen any vehicles yet besides the Warthog.
Yeah, so there you can. I don't remember. It's funny, right? Like, I played Halo Combat Evolved like 7-8 times now,
but you've also played like six other Halo games that are more modern, you know.
And you can jack, so it's like, yeah, you could always jack vehicles. Like,
it's like, no, a lot of this stuff was missing in the first one, and I don't know, people seem down on this remake. I'm like, I don't know, I think the things like applying all the modern things to that kind of bolsters what was already like, well, I thought, one of my favorite campaigns in the series, and it makes it feel more modern. Like, you know, imagine you're a PS, like a PlayStation gamer, you're playing this for the first time, and you go to play and you can't sprint. Like, what? It's gonna feel
weird, insane.
Also, graphically, like some things I'm like, it just does not look up to stuff, but then some things are like, this is some of the most incredible graphics I've ever seen.
Yes, agreed.
What people were showing off on like Instagram and shit was like the level I'm on right now, which is like this beach level where you're by like the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And good God, like the fucking water looks incredible, man. Like,
oh yeah, like that looks great. And then like you kind of look off to the horizon and you can see the ring going up. And
yeah,
it's beautiful. There are moments where it's like, this, there's like something missing, and I think it's just the lighting, especially some of the darker pieces, particularly in the second level Halo, where it's you've crash landed on the ring, and you kind of have to make your way up and rescue the you have to like find the three pre-crashed troops areas. There's a point where you go down into a Forerunner structure and it's like dark down there, and in the original, like the lighting just like had it like this really cool kind of effect, and there was a really neat vibe to it. And in this, it's just like, it's a little too dark, it just doesn't look great down there. But for the most part, I think it looks really good. Like, I don't know, I like it, I think it's neat. Jeff, have you tried to play the third person
mode? No, yet? I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't done that yet.
I heard it's good. Play... It looks awesome. Like,
yeah. So I have the skull now, so I will give it a shot at some point.
Have you played the prequel missions?
So I started that tonight, and I've done the first one. It's fine. You Master Chief and Sergeant Johnson, you like jack one of those the Covenant troop carriers, and that's how it starts. Is like you're the troop carrier is coming into dock with this Covenant ship, and the Covenant's like they're going through the docking procedures, and then they open up the last one and Master Chief's standing there. It's like you jump right into combat in that, and then you're making your way through this Covenant ship. It's interesting because in the first game there are no brutes. This immediately, like you get all the different Covenant species, including the brutes. They're introduced at the end of the first level, and you immediately are like, "Hey, like these guys are a pain, and they were a pain in the ass in Halo 2 and 3, and they're a pain in the ass here. They take so many bullets." So it's a fun different change of pace from the original Halo missions, where you were just fighting elites and grunts and the jackals, and occasionally the hunters. Yeah, it seems neat so far. I haven't met any of the new characters yet. I think there's only three missions too.
Yeah.
So I know people have been making a lot of noise about an ODST that shows up. I don't understand why we're still in this like culture war bullshit about video games. It's so stupid.
Because people are stuck in 2020.
But yeah, I haven't met this character yet, so I can't really speak to her inclusion at all. But yeah, I like what I played.
I heard there's ideas in those prequel missions, so maybe some cool shit will happen. Yeah. In the. Also, are you excited for Halo 2 remake?
Am I excited for it? No, but will I play it? Yes.
What if they beefed up the campaign? And what if? Well, this is not even a what if, but like. It includes the multiplayer. Like it, Halo 2 so, has to include the multiplayer. Like,
so that's the one, and I agree, right? Like, if all right, you can get away with it with Campaign Evolved.
I have no problem with that on Campaign Evolved. I don't know about you. I didn't play the multiplayer on the original ever. Like,
I didn't. I would have enjoyed like if they had done like really nice looking remakes of those maps. In because this is
yeah sure
Campaign Evolved is a Unreal Engine game. It's the first Halo done in Unreal. I would have liked to see, because like visually the game is I think it looks really good, so I would have really liked to see those maps done up nice. But yeah, also if you're only going to give like I think the original game only had 6 or 8 maps.
And they were probably designed for like 4 players, or yep. You know, like not that many. Yep. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you could do 4-on-4 with a LAN, but yeah, but most matches were you would play 4-player split screen.
I mean, so. We're talking about a game that's like 2 years removed from GoldenEye. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I don't know if it was 2 years, but whatever.
Close enough.
Like, but like with like with
98, 2001 or something like that.
Yeah. So. With Halo 2, though, that was like the advent of Xbox Live. And
yes,
you got it. Like there's no, it's not optional.
If you're going to do, and I think they are, because I think that's what they're hinting at. If you're going to do Halo 2 Campaign Evolved or whatever, like a new evolution of that in Unreal, I think you got to go the whole way. You have to do all the Halo 2 maps, all the DLC that they had released for it, because they had those map expansion packs. They, I guess it wasn't DLC, but they had like the map expansions. And I hope that they would go back and do the original Halo maps as well and throw them in there and give us an actual Halo multiplayer game.
Now,
I'd be excited for that.
Do you think that these are delaying what's next for Halo? Like you know, are we just going to get Halo 2 and 3 as well? This is going to be the next two Halo games? Because I got to be honest with you, like, I really like Halo Infinite. Like, I thought Halo Infinite was awesome, and I want to see a sequel to that that's way more expansive with, like, the open world idea. Like,
I agree. Amazing. I do think this is holding that up. I think that, and same for Gears of War. Remember, Gears of War, I don't know if you guys finished Gears 5, but that ends on a cliffhanger.
Like, and they're just going back to the beginning now?
Yep. Well, they redid Gears 1 again. So it's funny. They've remade both of their big games twice now. Gears isn't getting, they're not getting a Gears 6. They're doing like a prequel to it. And I think that's exactly what's also happening with Halo. I don't know why. I don't know if they're just not confident in what they were doing, but now they don't know how to go forward with it. Which is a shame because Infinite was great.
Yeah. That was, the thing for me is, it's not about the story, because I couldn't even tell you what the fuck happened in Halo Infinite. I just thought that was a great evolution of the series. I think, again, I haven't played it since it came out, but I feel like Halo Infinite is kind of underrated now.
Yeah.
I thought it was phenomenal, and I would love to see them expand on that and, like, really build it up as an open-world game. I think it could be really great. I don't know if you and I are in the minority on that, but I loved Halo Infinite, and kind of bums me out. Like, as much as I think the first three games are great, like, and it'll be cool to replay them, and you know,
I want new experiences in Halo. Like,
yeah, I want to feel completely fresh, and
I'm okay with going back to old Halo. I like old Halo, but yes, I would like new Halo as well. I don't think we're the only ones. I will say, I think we're in the minority though, Jeff. I think there's a weird vocal contingent of Halo fans, and I think that Halo fans are up there with Star Wars fans. Is I think they actually hate the thing they say they like.
No,
these people just rip on Halo at every, like, and I don't understand why, because it's like, so you just want the game that you played 25 years ago. Like, you don't want them to ever make an evolution, make an improvement. Anytime you read these Reddit posts or online forums, or it's always like, oh, well, if they did this, they would capture their audience again. Like, I think that audience is gone. I don't think Halo's ever going to be the biggest shooter in games anymore. In fact, I don't know where that market is. Like, arena shooters don't pull anymore. It moved on to military shooters, and that's not what Halo is. I don't think we're ever going to have the, like, 1.5 million people concurrently on playing Halo again. I don't know. Command Evolved's good.
I mean, you're probably right, but you never know. If you make a good enough version of Infinite, like, it could, like, I don't know, it could. But even then, it's like, what's cool about Infinite is not, for me, the multiplayer aspect of it. It's just like, can you build this out? Can you make this Breath of the Wild with guns? Because that'd be cool.
Yeah, and I think that gameplay wise, and probably a lot of people agree with you on that, Jeff, but where the majority of people come to Halo for, I guess, is that multiplayer. Like, that's like, what keeps them there.
But like you said, like if that's what it is, it's never going to be what it was. It's people like us that remember, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the rest of the world has moved on.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to be 48 years old in like less than a month. Like, I am not staying up till 3 a.m. playing 6 hours of fucking Halo anymore.
I showed Chris this awesome fucking video of the Halo 3 launch, and it's like a 2-minute video, but it covers like them going to Walmart to get junk food for the launch, them going to GameStop for the launch, them driving home with the disc, and then like them playing the game. It's like clips of them playing the game, and you can see as they're playing, like outside their blinds, it's fucking light outside.
Yep.
And then finally one of them gets up and opens the blinds. They're like, it's fucking morning, dude.
It's like, oh, back to Halo.
I miss those fucking days. Like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
but, and I can't speak for all kids, but like a lot of the kids I know, like that's just not what they do. Like, yeah, they'll get caught up in a game, but generally speaking, it's not like a multiplayer game like that. It's not a campaign game like that. It's like the culture has moved on to something different, and those days are done. And I can't do them anymore. I'm too fucking old for that shit. But yeah, that's Campaign Evolved. It's on Game Pass. I think it's $50 if you want to buy it too. So
that's a choice.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't, you know, there's valid reasons for not supporting Microsoft, I guess. If you don't, or like, hey, you don't have an Xbox. If you're one of those weirdos that only buys on Steam, it's on Steam for $50. Like, you could play it there, and it's good anywhere. It's like, and there's no, as Jeff said, no multiplayer in this, so it's just the campaign, which can be played co-op.
But, yeah, I was gonna say, you can play that multiplayer.
Yeah. It's just there's no competitive multiplayer, so good stuff. Jeff, I think you had started playing Splatoon.
Yeah.
Last time, but now you've dug into Splatoon. You've beaten Splatoon.
I've beaten it. I've dug in further. And it's too bad Earl can't be here to hear me eat shit about talking shit about Splatoon. Because this is my game of the year so far. And I think it's the best Switch 2 game. Over Pocopia. Now, the things I was, like, my first impressions I was giving you guys last time, I don't think that's really changed for me. Like, I think the levels are very short and simplistic, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not all, like, I think I was telling you guys, it's like, there's like three or four level types. One of them is, hey, you gotta fill up this meter by killing shit, and you have like 45 seconds to do it. Or whatever, a minute, whatever it is. And if you don't, you fail, right? And not all of them, not that. That's just my least favorite type. But there are other. So like, there are levels where it's basically, hey, go loot, and it's like, you go around, you like, it's an actual level that you can explore, and you'll come to areas where you have to fight enemies, and you have to kill all the enemies in the area, and then after that, you're allowed to break this crystal that gives you more loot. Those are like my favorite levels, because it's like paced at how you want to play it. There are hidden dungeon type things where like, it's kind of like those shrines in Zelda, where they like strip away all the equipment that you have and give you one piece of equipment to teach you how to use that piece of equipment.
Yep.
What else is there? I don't know. There's a few different ones. I think what I say kind of stands though. Like, the levels are very short and simplistic, and I wish there was more variety to them. That said, the shortness of the levels kind of starts to become a feature because it just becomes like this one more run type thing. You know what I mean? You're like, ah, like, especially if you're losing a level, you're like, well, it only took like 2 minutes. Let's try this again. Right.
Yeah.
But on top of that, like when you beat a level or don't beat a level, you get kicked back out to your hub area, and you're going to spend as much time, if not more, tinkering with your character, doing RPG shit. And it's fucking, that's my shit. I love, like, you know, deciding what equipment to put on my character, what to, like, where to put my experience points and all that. And this has all of that. And it just becomes a very addictive loop. And so after I beat the game, I had finally convinced my wife to buy it, and we've been playing it like quite a bit. Like, after we made dinner tonight, we were gonna watch a movie, and I was like, ah, I don't know if we have time to watch a movie before I do my podcast. And so, like, from like 6:45 till we started this, we were playing fucking Splatoon. We were playing the shit out of it, and she loves it too now. Like,
nice.
We're both super into it. And yeah, there's like very little, like I say, bad about the game. Again, like I think that I would have liked one or two more level types. And if you want to really flesh this out, give me a couple like Zelda style dungeons that are bigger and take like an hour to beat. That would be awesome. Doesn't really fit the type of game that they're going for. Maybe like you know, this is very much like, again, a lot of the reviews said that, like, oh, this is better in single player than multiplayer. I think it's awesome in multiplayer. It feels built for multiplayer in the same way that Diablo and Borderlands does. I'm having a blast playing through the campaign, like helping my wife through the campaign now. And it's like, it's crazy. Like, well, not crazy. I'm sure other games do this, but like how they make it work where like I'm a level 47 character and she's like level 7 and we're both getting the same level of challenge out of it. And the loot that drops for me is appropriate for me. The loot that drops for her is appropriate for her. I don't know how they get that to work where like, if we're both shooting the same enemy, for her, he's a level 7. For me, he's a level whatever. But it's awesome. I guess the only other bad thing I would say about it is I did not like the final boss that much. It's not even a real like final boss. It's like this kind of endurance test that you have to get through.
I don't like that.
Like dodging lasers and shit, right? And when you get to the end of it, and this is the part that really annoyed me, you finally get to do your like big kill attack on the final boss, and it is rotate your left stick really fast. And I found that really frustrating to the point where I felt like I was going to break my left stick on my controller. And these are $90 controllers at this point, which
yeah,
man, I not love that.
All I heard was Jeff's not good at rotating his stick. That's all I heard.
I'm good at jacking it,
but not rotating.
I mean, maybe it's not supposed to rotate. Maybe that's the problem.
But so yeah, Splatoon Raiders is fucking awesome, dude.
Nice.
I really think that you guys should play it, man, and that we should like play it together. Like, it's that fun. Like, it's just there's that. It's a fun game to hang out and play with friends with. Cause like, you go play a level. The level's like a minute long. Then you're back, kind of like in your own lobby areas or your own hub areas, like working on your character. You can kind of chat and like it's. I'm surprised the point to which like IGN made a point of saying like, oh, it's better single player. I'm like, this just feels so built for multiplayer. And so smartly built for multiplayer.
Yeah, you're selling me on it, and with Beast of Reincarnation not being great, and also it's not, I didn't realize it was a Souls-like, so that like
Beast of Reincarnation?
Yeah.
Like every time I see action RPG for a game. I assume it's a Souls-like.
Fair.
I'm sure
fair.
It's a baby Souls-like. It's fucking, it's Game Freak. Like, it's not gonna be hard. Are they saying it's hard?
No, but like, just like, it's very like deliberate with its attacking, but it's also evidently buggy, and
it runs poorly.
Yeah, it's buggy. It runs like shit. And I was like, I could just skip that.
It's, I mean, almost like
it being on Game Pass would nice, but
I have it downloaded, so I will try it. But it's almost like Game Freak is not a very good developer. Sorry to say, like, they have billions and billions of dollars, and they just cannot. Again, either can't figure it out or don't care, because like, their games are shit. Like, no offense, I kind of like the Pokemon games, but also like,
great. Don't mock Pokemon,
dude. The last Pokemon game on Switch, as I was playing it, I'm like, this is good. This is good. I will never, ever play that again. Never. And I do replay games still, like, but it's just like, there's nothing compelling about it. Their games look like ass, kind
of.
So like,
many people play the crap out of those games and play through them so many times. The shiny hunting alone.
Yeah, I never got.
Yeah, I think, no. Think if you get into the like, into that, yeah, like, you're,
I just think they're mediocre developer, dude. Like, I just, they are riding on, you know, the, I mean, I guess they created it, but whatever, like, they're riding
on their own coattails.
Yeah, but it's just like, yeah, man, I played those old Game Boy ones, because those old Game Boy ones could be great. I don't know. But like, everyone I've played in modern era, I'm like, this game is super mediocre.
Did you play the Let's Go Pikachu, yes, or Eevee? Yeah, so that's just like a modern interpretation of the original Pokemon. Like,
good lord. Well, maybe it has more charm in 8-bit or not, whatever, bit fucking.
I think the appeal of it is kind of what Tony said. It's like, you know, you're chasing all the monsters. You're trying to get the shinies.
I'm just saying, though, like,
all, come on.
Everything around that, though, is just like so half ass. And like, I just think that Pokemon games are not super compelling.
I totally just, why do you think it's half ass? I don't understand what.
I just don't think that the gameplay is compelling. It's built around doing these battles that I don't think the battle system is very deep or interesting, or
it can be. I think that the main game, which is where you're playing most of
yes,
is not. It's after that. So the people that get into it.
You either get into the multiplayer or the post game stuff, which gets super complicated.
You play a multiplayer?
I don't know.
Oh, wow, Tony's real deep on this.
Then you have to actually know, like, the hundreds of Pokemon and what their abilities are and, like, what moves they have. And there's no way. Like, that has to be.
For me, the appeal of the Pokemon games is getting the Pokemon and then evolving them. Yeah. But, like, I feel like everything around that, like, everything around that, I think the level design, the graphics, you know, the rest of it is just not very good. But anyways, so yeah, I didn't have high hopes for Beast of Reincarnation, despite the fact that, like, I was like, whoa, like, they're trying something different here. Yeah, we'll see what I think of it. Like, I'll get to play it for free, right? So whatever.
Yeah, maybe I will. Splatoon.
I want to recommend Splatoon Raiders to both of you guys. I think, especially as a $50 game, I'm gonna end up getting, like, it's not a super long campaign, but like, if you get into it like me, you do want to keep playing, and you'll find ways and reasons to keep playing. Like, the earlier levels, like all the earlier levels, you could play like a spicy version of the level, or a super spicy version of the level, which is just like super higher and higher difficulties. We're like, let's take an early level where it's like, the enemies are level 12. The super or the spicy version will be like, the enemies are level 25. And the super spicy version will be like, That means they're level 55. And so, like, it does, you're replaying the same shit, but you're always, you know, it's that action RPG shit where it's like, oh, I want
that challenge. Yeah.
If you go and play an early level that is the super spicy is level 55, it's going to drop level 55 weapons. And so now you have that level 55 weapon. And hey, if you want to go help people, like get summoned, I also love that it has the summoning system of Elden Ring and shit. If you want to get summoned to help people, now you got this level 55 weapon. You should be more kick-ass. And then when you do let people summon you, you also get better rewards for that. So, like, it's super good with, like, the loot hamster wheel thing, you know?
It's nice. Tony, have you played anything else?
I did start 007 First Light.
Oh, okay.
Which
was it on sale, or you just bought it randomly?
I just bought it. I was like, I need a new game. I don't know.
It's
what
not
to play.
Dropped yet. How is it not dropped yet?
Yeah, no, I paid the full. Well, I didn't pay the full 70. I had $50 in my of
probably
Xbox
too.
Rewards.
I should check it.
It was not. I spent $20 on it, so I feel pretty good about that part. That game kind of brings me joy. I haven't played a ton of it, but it has that.
Put that on the box. That game kind of brings me joy.
It kind of brings me joy.
I love that quote. I'm going to start saying that.
I was complaining to a few folks, like, I hadn't had a game that had come out this year that I was really like, this game is awesome. It's great. I'm really enjoying this. And this is the first game all year where I had that feeling. We're like, Bond is cool. He's saying cool shit. Like, the things that are happening look really cool. I haven't had a ton of time to play games over the past week, so I haven't gotten very far. Like, even getting through, like, the whole, like, training montage stuff was awesome. Like, all the, like, the capture the flag stuff at the beginning where the game is like, it's a fucking tutorial, but it's like the best tutorial you've ever seen. Like, this tutorial feels like an actual gameplay. It's great.
I heard it's like cinematic too at the beginning, like, where it's like, feels like you're watching a movie.
I really, really like the opening level where you don't know how to do anything. And so they've fixed the story so that you don't have gun. And you have to, like, sneak around and do stuff even though you don't know how to do anything. And the fact that you don't know how to do anything is like a plot point. it's worked out.
You're young Bond.
Well, you're actually, like, when you start, Jeff, you're part of like an SAS, like a squadron that's going.
Yeah, yeah.
Your helicopter.
You get
shot
down. You fall into an MI6 mission by mistake.
Yeah.
Basically.
And basically, MI6 is like, you're not equipped to do this. Like, we need you to get the intel and get the hell out of there. So, yeah. Have you gotten further past that, Tony?
I just got through the part where they've all graduated and they're at the bar.
Okay.
So I'm starting to get into the actual game now. I hope. Where it actually opens up. Because, you know, I love the Hitman guy. I know this is the Hitman guys, and I know that once it starts to open up, I'm going to get to do all the crazy stuff that I'm really...
It's going wacky!
Yeah. So you've played through the training montage.
Yes.
Which I thought was really cool. Like, where it's
the,
like,
training stuff is fun, and it's like, it's teaching you how to play the game and, like, in a really, really cool way.
Yeah. It's literally fast-paced.
Yeah. And like, it literally does montage moments.
Yeah.
Between the parts where it's actually showing you how to play.
It's a real, really smart way of doing it, and it keeps that, like, you know, James Bond action movie type feel to it the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about this game that brings you joy. So
I look forward to playing it at some point. I really do.
Earl brings me joy.
Yes, he does. And I mean, I spent the weekend watching some Bond movies. And again, I keep on looking because the special edition's on sale now. But it, like, the sale is like $160 instead of $300. So like, I just want this game for like $40. I'm ready to give you money for James Bond.
You do what I do, Earl. You do the hard work to earn your Xbox reward points, and you use those to buy your $70 game for $20.
You might just randomly have enough to get a $25 or $50 off.
I think I'm near $25, but again, I was hoping that it would be on sale because even if it's not a Game of the Year contender, though, I hear it is. I just want to pay it. I paid it's all the mainstream James Bond games since GoldenEye. Like anything before then, it's like, you know, whatever. But, you know, even Bloodstone but not Agent on the Fire. Agent on the Fire people enjoy. What, Nightfire? No, Nightfire. Agent on the Fire is the first one EA does. Tomorrow Never Dies on N64. Just real quick. Hi. But also, I had some friends in town this weekend. And we were like, we're gonna play GoldenEye because I have NSO expansion pack, and we hadn't played college friends. I'm like, we haven't played GoldenEye in forever. I have no muscle memory for GoldenEye. It's like one of those things. I shouldn't say that. I have muscle memory for modern first person shooters, and it does not control like any of those.
No.
One stick, not two stick.
But it's still because you then use the you're supposed to use the C sticks to. But like use not the C sticks and not the yeah, it's not right because everything's inverted and it was awful. But yes, there is the ambiance and everything around that is great. But I would say I personally have never held. GoldenEye is good. I've always said Everything or Nothing is the best James Bond game though.
Maybe your mind will change. One.
I guess very good one.
First Sight. So, and again, I was literally as of today, I was looking for it because I'm like, all these special editions are on sale. Maybe, like, honestly, I want to say.
I think you should treat yourself, Earl. Treat yourself. Just buy it now.
We'll talk about it in a second. Because you know, I treated myself to probably one of my Game of the Year contenders. As Jeff already talked about it. So.
I think he did. We can circle back if you're talking about Splatoon.
I am talking about Splatoon.
Well, we'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Jeff said you had not gotten here just yet, and he was talking about it, and he said he wished you were here so you could hear him eat shit about it because he really, really likes it.
And honestly speaking, I don't know what he's eating shit about, but I'm probably in the same boat as him in that, I adore Splatoon. Splatoon is one of my favorite Nintendo franchises, and I enjoy Salmon Run. I just thought this would be an expansion of Salmon Run, which is fun, but I'm like, okay, it would be Salmon Run. I've done that before, but I think what they do with this and how they navigate it, it makes it so much better than Salmon Run. I've really enjoyed it single player. I think it's been a blast, but last night I got to play it with my friend for the first time. And it's such a different experience with co-op. Part of it was like the level gap because I'm about 10 levels higher than my friend. I haven't been in the game yet because I've been busy, but I've also just been, it's just been so fun. I've just been going back through old stages to like run it on spicy. But like being like we are playing, like they increase the enemies in co-op, but they also kind of curate per person. It's like we'd go to an earlier stage, and it's like every enemy here is gonna be level 30 for me. So it's not like I have an easy time. It's not like Borderlands is I think a good example. Borderlands, if one of the people's higher level, they will just kind of maul through all the enemies for you because their weapons, their special that just does more damage. Splatoon is like, no, you kind of, it's essentially you're playing co-op, but you're existing in slightly different instances of like, you have the same enemies, but your enemies level 30 and your weapons will do the same amount of damage as your friend who's level 20 because he's getting level 20 enemies. So it's like, you're not doing it faster or anything. You're not doing it better. You're not helping him grind. If anything, maybe you're making it harder for him or them, but it still works. And just, but again, I feel like, and again, this could just be, you know, circumstantial. I felt like Fan and Cough, they were dropping better weapons for me. They were dropping better gear. I've gotten a bunch of gold, like 4-star equipment. I know it goes up to 5 stars and stuff like that. But yeah, I think the feel of it, it's just absolutely amazing. I think one of the understated things about it is that the levels are, they can be as short as like a minute. They can be as long as you want them to be. And the fact that I'm coming home from trivia. My friend was like, you know, one of my friends who usually shows up first or, you know, early, was like, I'm finishing work, I won't be there. I'm like, I got dressed, I was ready to go walk out the door. I'm like, okay, I can't leave there because I'll be there like 20 minutes before anybody else. I'm like, I'm gonna play a few levels of Splatoon and get some stuff done. And I did that. And I'm like, I got to level up, I got to play like 3 additional levels, stages. I'm like, the fact that I can just do that, I'm like, okay, this is where you pick up and play. But also, if I want to stay there, and I've done it, if I want to stay 2-3 hours, it's also great for that because you see a bunch of new stuff. You get a bunch of new challenges. Hey, granted, there are 4 types of stages in this game. I think there's the dungeons, which are essentially specialty challenges with an equipment or a weapon. There is the gem one where you're just going around and collecting enough stuff to get these gems, and you can, again, those you can ask as long as you want. There's kind of the enemy gauntlets. We go through 3 stages, and each one is about a minute, and you have to kill a certain number of enemies and collect gems or orbs, whatever they want to call it. And then there's like the actual stages, and I think one of the things they do well is it is more of a shooter than anything, but later on they do open up like some platforming segments and stuff like that, and I think, again, it keeps it fresh. It keeps it novel. I think Splatoon does a great job overall, not just in this game, of having very unique weapons that you don't find in other shooters. Like right now, I'm rocking a Royer, no pun intended. And that is one of those weapons that you can just hold down and you'll roll over smaller enemies, but bigger enemies you'll bounce off of. You can kind of hurl it like a paintbrush and do that. If you jump, you do like a diagonal dash, you do like a vertical dash, and that does it in the straight line where it goes further. The paintbrushes are very similar. At one point I had a bucket. The bucket is more just like it gets it up and over. The umbrella blocks stuff, but it also kind of works as a shotgun. You pop out, pop. It's all great weapons, and I think they do a great job of balancing it, and I think they do a much better job of balancing it than they do in Salmon Run. Partially because you get to pick your weapon. In Salmon Run, you famously or infamously get a suite of like 4 weapons, and you get it randomly picked, assigned to you each round. It's just a lot. It's a lot to love. I think it's a really great game, and I think what helps it more than anything in this day and age, it's also like $50.
You and Jeff are doing a pretty good job of convincing me to try it. So
I wish Nintendo had a demo of it. I like I said, I have Splatoon, and it's such a weird thing to me that I think Foam Stars tried, and I think Ninjaya has tried, but I want more of it because, again, the fact that everything's kind of tied together in such a novel way that your ink is your ammo, your ink is how you reload, your ink is how you traverse, your ink is how you damage people, and all of that, they find novel ways to tie in together and make it work. And I'm surprised that no other game has tried to mimic it in some fashion.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Tony and I need to try Splatoon out at some point.
Yes,
we should all get together and play
that way.
And Jeff, you and Earl need to try out 007 at some point. So.
I am so ready for it.
I'm shocked, Earl. I'm shocked you haven't broken already.
It's the same thing with Ego Batman. I don't think people are talking about it the same way, but there are times where I was hoping Target would have like a buy 2 get 1 free sale by now, Yes, it. I.
We don't sell physical games anymore, Earl.
Online.
Over. Did you hear?
And sometimes you do online codes.
Sure.
I'm right with you, Earl, though. With both of those games, or I was like, those will be on sale in no time.
Those two
and Pragmata. Pragmata is the other one I feel like I gotta play because I got really high marks from people.
It's really good.
Yeah, and so those are the three.
So far, yeah, those would be up there. Earl, did you play anything else besides Splatoon? I know you've been busy.
Like I said, I mean, I played a lot, but nothing super new. I was away 2 weeks ago with some friends. We played Overcooked, which is always just chaotic to watch people play. We played, I didn't play.
Skits are so hard.
Yeah, they're not hard.
They're hard for me. You have to communicate and...
You just need somebody on like the duty to call out orders. And
I think you need to know how to work a kitchen line or something because like it's fucking
once
nuts.
You get one person who can do that, the game isn't that bad. The problem
my wife is fine at it because she works in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you need somebody that can be like the behind the manager, right? In the back, like the back manager. Interesting.
But yes, and I tried, but I wasn't paying my friends. Like, stop shouting! Like, but you, because the thing with the thing that sometimes screws people up is the orders don't necessarily always come in order. So you might have something that's like later down the line, but it has to go first because it's going to go bad before anything in front of it. And like, you need somebody in charge of that, and you also need somebody who's in charge of, because like at one point my friends like, you stay here, you do this, and then what happened was like. Other people were just not doing anything because they had one job. It's like, no, if you're gonna wash dishes, you also need to run dishes. And by that, I mean you need to make sure the dishes are in places where people can take food and stuff like that. And then you need somebody who's running the food back and forth. You need somebody who, like, the person running the food should also be the person calling out orders. Because what happens is like somebody freaks out because the rice burning. They put it on the first plate, but that first plate had sushi on it, and the sushi didn't need the rice. Like, it's chaotic. It's a mess. So. But as somebody watching it, I'm just like, I'm enjoying this so much because you folks are doing the most with the least amount of, like, they're top. I'm like, I didn't even know you could get 0 stars. And you got negative 12 in this round. Okay. Good for you.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. I've had a ton of Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment. Which I enjoy these games. I know not everybody does because they always sell themselves as prequels to, because Age of Calamity was the prequel to Breath of the Wild. This is the prequel to Tears of the Kingdom, which Kiri is like, you know, you see goosey with it because you kind of know what happens. And I like that they have like this quote unquote night construct, which is the Zonai device, which is shaped like Ink, because we can't have Ink in this story because he doesn't exist in Age, he doesn't exist in the prequel, but you need Ink in this game, so we'll have him in it. But again, it remains fun. I just like the mind to speed him up. I mentioned GoldenEye already, which I don't have the muscle memory for. I had friends over this weekend, and it was just an utter delight. We played, we went through X-Men Arcade, because I bought the Marvel Maximum Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And those signs in that game were so stupid. Magneto calls you a, what's he called? Like, he calls you like a rat or a rodent, and it's such weird dialogue. And everybody, the grunts and stuff, we're just killing us. But it was great. I think it's the first time we really ran through it, and I'm like, oh, the game's like, this game isn't over yet, and you start over, and it's like, oh, you just continue on. There's nothing new here. It's the same game over and over again. And then we were going through NSO, like I mentioned with GoldenEye, but we also checked out Mario Strikers on the GameCube. Because again, these were my college friends, and this was prime college time for me. And I dominated that game in college. And it's like one of those games I've not really played in like 20 years. I'm like, I played the sequel, so I know how those work. I'm like, I don't remember how this works anymore. But by the second game, I was like kind of back in the groove and I understood what was going on. But again, I think. Go on.
No, I was going to say I tried that game out too, but I tried it out for the first time very recently.
Not a fan?
No, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really great. But like, what I did not like is anytime I would score a goal, it got answered like immediately. So like, it's like a crazily high scoring soccer game, which is not how.
Oh, does not usually work that way.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean in the game it doesn't work that way? Because like I always get my ass kicked.
I mean, maybe with the computer, but usually the Wii one I think does that thing, which I hate. Because the Wii one was trying to be cutesy, so you'd get to be the goalie, but you'd have to put the Wiimote and the nunchuck up, and then you'd have to like move the hands because the Super Strike, I think that's what it's called, the move where your captain charges up the meter.
Yes.
In the GameCube one, if you hit it, it's 2 points automatically, no matter what. In the Wii one, it's up to 5 points, and then you'd have to be the goalie, so you'd have to like move your hands with the motion controls to block the ball so they wouldn't score five. And that's like one of those things for me. I like motion controls, like going from like kind of a stationary position to like, oh, I have to put these up and actually know how to move them is always kind of annoying. But I think it's one of those games or franchises where simplicity works, because I don't mind Charged or Battle League, whatever one is on the Switch. But that adds
the Battle League, yeah.
Yeah, that adds a bunch of like there's armor, there is different abilities, there's like different like you gotta press B and A to like juke, and I'm like the thing that worked with the original is like it's simple. There's a pass button, there's a shoot button, there is a tackle, there is a juke, like, you know, like, and that's about it. Where like the newer one, it's like, okay, you press B and A, then A and B to do this move. I'm like, no, like it's an arcade sports game. Keep it simple.
It was perfect with the first one with the GameCube one. It has not improved since then.
No, not at all. But again, it was really fun, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, I really do kind of miss, and again, it's not like any, but I do miss Yoku Game and Night. So I'm trying to, I think I mentioned this on the show before, I'm trying to plan a night where either here at my place or like at a bar where we go and we'll play a bunch of beat 'em ups. I've been collecting them over the past few months. Like I said, I got the Marvel Maximum Collection, which has like X-Men Arcade, Separation Anxiety, Maximum Carnage, Captain America and the Avengers and stuff like that. I got, you know, Shredder's Revenge. I also have some other, not niche ones, but SNO ones, because they go say 6 failure. I'm like, just a bunch of beat-em-ups. Because again, beat-em-ups are like an hour, if that. But I'm like, I want to collect a bunch of them, and I want to have a friend who's on his, hopefully, knock on wood, if he remembers. He's a video game bar in there to see if we could bring in a Switch. Because I have a portable dock now. So I'm like, yeah, I'll hook up my Switch. I'll bring controllers. People can bring controllers. And I'm just like, we'll just play a bunch of games all night.
That sounds cool. Jeff, did you play anything else besides Splatoon?
The only other thing I'm really playing besides Splatoon is Inscription, which I played like 2 years ago and we talked about. So
yep.
There's nothing to really say, but it's one of my favorite games of all time. I love it. Chris, you played through it, right?
Yes,
you know all the craziness it gets into with like the found footage and the different acts. Yeah, I don't know what I really have to add to that. I think it's like it's not a perfect game. It's like misshapen. There's weird things about it, but like I just absolutely fucking love that game, and the first act of that game especially, like. When you're in that cabin playing against the, like, you know, that guy in the cabin, the atmosphere of that, the music, like the music on the boss fights, just got me kind of into a whole genre of card games, which I, you know, still love now, but to me, it's still the best.
Nice. Real quick before we move on to our movie, I'll talk about this quickly for our buddy Sean. And I see he's actually playing it right now. Dragon Sword Awakening, which is a new action RPG on Steam. Came out maybe a week and a half ago. Think if you know what Genshin Impact looks like, it's very like anime-ish, but the world is very, and Genshin is also this, like it's very much like kind of Breath of the Wild type Zelda world. This Dragon Sword Awakening game is not a gacha game like Genshin. It's just you pay for the game and you have everything, but the styling of it is very much like the mission structure is very Genshin-ish. The world is very Zelda-ish though, where there's towers that unlock pieces of the map, and then there's like little shrines. The only thing I did not realize, I believe it is all in Korean. there's English subtitles, but all the dialogue I believe is in Korean because it is a Korean game. That's the only thing that is a little bit of a drawback for me. I wish it had some English voice acting, but otherwise really fun. It plays real well, looks great. If you look at their DLC store though, they're getting a little creepy over there. Because the DLC is the first DLC is for costumes, and it's all like very skimpy bathing suits for the female characters. So yeah, it's a little horny on the character side, but otherwise, seems like a really fun, solid game. And I believe it's only $30, so but only available on PC at this point. And the other game I want to talk about, I talked about this with Jeff. We played Skyward Sword for VG Club.
Yeah.
And I'm still poking at it. And I'm playing the Switch version. I don't think that's a very good game.
10 from IGN.
And 10 from Edge. It received a lot of 10s.
10 out of 10. And I was the only one who could see it for orders at the fucking time. I want to get credit for that again. Just saying. Dude, I'm like the biggest... Zelda is my favorite fucking thing in the world. And when that game came out, I had the courage to be like, nah. what is this?
I remember...
I am a Skyward Sword fan.
Okay. Is it because of the motion controls though? Because I
as a person, I like motion controls, and
is it a 10 out of 10? Is it like a top 5 Zelda game for you?
I don't think many games are 10 out of 10 across the board. That's just a me thing.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it's a 10 out of 10. I don't think. There's a lot of things in this game that...
Is it up there in the Zelda library?
I am going to say something controversial, and then you folks can hate me on it. I prefer it over Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. So...
We've gotten into this with me. I am not a 3D Zelda fan. I think Wind Waker's my favorite. But this...
That's 3D Zelda?
For me, yeah.
I mean, it is a 3D Zelda, no matter what.
It's 3D Zelda for everybody. What you're saying is that, like, typically you like the 2D better, but Wind Waker is your favorite?
If you were like, what's your favorite 3D Zelda, I'd be like Wind Waker.
Oh, Wind Waker's my favorite.
Yeah, I think it'd be very high up there.
Like, my two favorite Zeldas are Wind Waker and I think to the Past.
But I don't really like 3D Zelda beyond that. Like, it's been, like, Twilight Princess is probably number 2.
You weren't into Ocarina and Majora's Mask?
I don't like Majora's Mask at all. Ocarina's good. I don't love it. And then
Ocarina to me is Super Mario Brothers, where it's like, I understand the foundations and I understand why people love it, but almost every sequel does everything better than it.
I'm hoping the remake will be like, oh yeah, this I really like this one now.
But
do you guys still believe that's coming out this year?
Yes.
Do you really? I'm pretty like skeptical.
What I okay, my thought process is I don't think Nintendo's ever, not recently, it's been bad about like this game's coming out this year when they've announced it this year. Like, I think
it's just weird that they've not shown it yet. Maybe it's like they're trying to do this cadence where like after Fire Emblem launches, then we'll show it. But I'm just like,
I think what will happen. I think it's also Fire Emblem, but I think what's going to happen, and I was wrong on the timing. It's going to be, let me just double check. Whenever Resident Evil comes out this year, the movie.
September, isn't it?
So yeah. I think, yeah, so we'll get it direct around like September 13th or something like that. Because I assume what they want to do, it's kind of what they did with Mario, is like they'll do, here's the Ocarina of Time remake, here's the first teaser trailer for the Zelda movie. Here's like, this is Zelda's 40th anniversary. This is how we're celebrating it. We have Ocarina of Time remake. We have the movie coming out. The movie's going to be the main event next May, I think it is. We'll show this off. Here's a date. What do you need to show off about Ocarina of Time?
I mean, I didn't know what the scope of the ambitions here are. Like, it could be a Final Fantasy VII type deal, or a Resident Evil 4 type deal, or it could be, you know,
it could just be a straight remake.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What Nintendo remake is Final Fantasy VII?
I don't think any of them. You're right. Here's the thing, though. It's like that bar has been set now. And also, like, you're dealing with one of the highest regarded games of all time. I don't know. I think if you're working on this and you look at remakes that have come out recently, like, there's a bar that's been set.
I feel like Nintendo is Nintendo. Star Fox has added nothing new as far as I know. Like, some cutscenes.
Not really, yeah, right.
We've seen Paper Mario got a remake recently. Like, or gets remasters. Like, there's not, like, they'll change up art styles, but they don't, like, Link's Awakening got a remake that didn't add much, that didn't add new content. It's, like, they are unpredictable in some ways, but in this way, I've not expected anything but a straight Ocarina of Time remake.
I'm setting it up in my mind as it's just going to be that, like, because even that, it'll be cool. It'll be awesome. But, like, I do wish it was something more.
Like, and I don't know. And it'll be playable on a normal controller.
Yeah.
What was that, Earl?
The N64 controller is normal. At least for Ocarina of Time, because it's pretty much just an analog stick and buttons. It's not like...
Yeah, but even then, like, the controls themselves, you know, needed modernization.
They're it's not that it's not, but like it plays fine on the N64. It's just like modern controls have changed. Yeah. It's because this is my big problem with Skyward Sword, is it controls like shit on the Switch. Like,
it
controls better than it did on the Wii, where you had to waggle your fucking hand the whole game. But
yeah. Again, I don't think you had to waggle. You had somewhat. Again, I remember playing that game and being like, oh, this.
Yeah.
There are two games on Wii Motion Plus that I remember Bungie. I mean, there's not a ton of them in general, but it's Skyward Sword and Red Steel 2, because I think they understood more. It was more like direction was always kind of fine. It was more like intensity, and I think Skyward Sword does that. I think where Skyward Sword falters is they were like, we have these few encounters. We're going, like, you fight Garaham like 3 or 4 times in that game.
Yeah.
You fight the Mize. Great. Well, you fight the Mize once, but you fight the giant toad creature thingy like 4 or 5 times. The one that walks around, you have to hit him in the back of his foot. What is that creature called? You know what I'm talking about, right? I hope.
I've not made it that far.
Okay. There's one creature you'll fight.
Chris is like, he stepped out.
Yeah, there's one creature you'll fight repeatedly. And like this, not it's circular, but it's not circular. It's kind of like a spiral. You go down, and then you have to like attack him from behind. Because like his only weak point is like this, his toe behind him. Oh, the imprisoned.
And you got to fight him multiple times.
Yes, and then there was the weird thing where. Again, there's like one boss that, okay, he's out of a Pixar movie, Tantius. You fight him on the pirate ship, I want to say. And he's such jarring, he's so different. And then, again, there's a bunch of stuff in Skyward Sword that does not work in hindsight. Like, the stamina meter is a precursor to what you end up doing in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. But it runs out so much faster. Like, the stamina meter, I feel like the stamina meter was designed around certain puzzles and challenges where it's like, you gotta like run up this hill. We're gonna give you just enough stamina that you have to plan the perfect route. There's no way to like, and you know, Breath of the Wild, you can eat fruits and stuff to regain your stamina. That doesn't exist in Skyward Sword. I don't mind that you go through the same areas over and over and go to different parts of it for the puzzles. I think that's novel in like a world building sense. And I think equipment you get isn't as new. Cause like at one point you get the double grapple hook. Like this is just a grapple hook with another grapple hook.
Isn't there like repairing of equipment too? Or am I wrong?
I don't think it's
got to. You have to repair your shield.
Yeah. 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 I was thinking of, and that was kind of a precursor to the bullshit.
And then, I mean, I think they fixed this in the Switch version, is that the original release had that big issue, or that annoyance, where whenever you restarted the game, it would kind of reset by, so she would always break in to let you know, like, hey, you found 5 rupees, hey, you found this, like, no, I know what this is, you do not have to tell me, I've been playing this game for 3 weeks now, thank you, move on.
Yeah, no, she doesn't do that anymore in the Switch version.
Oh, it's so annoying.
But I think and I don't remember from Skyward Sword on the Wii how bad the camera was, but the camera's atrocious in the Switch version. Like,
because I don't even remember if you had camera control, because there wasn't a second analog stick on the Wii. And the D-pad, right. I believe, was for your weapon.
The second analog stick here is to swing your sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... and then to use the camera, you have to press left bumper, which gives you camera control on the right stick, but then you can't use your sword. Yeah. So, it's rough. It does have the puzzles that I've seen in the dungeons that I've been to so far are nice. They're cool. But, I'm not a super fan of it.
No, it's. I think it might be my least favorite Zelda game. And to me, like, part of it is all the Wii-ness of it, like the motion control stuff of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the overworld is terrible. Like, it's not interesting at all.
Oh yeah, that's it. Like when you, because everything is up in the Sky Kingdom.
It's just,
and there's nothing there. There's like the Pumpkin Inn, and then like little islands. That's it.
It's one of those games when I think back to the context of it, where people wanted something like Wind Waker, but they didn't want Wind Waker because Wind Waker at the time people hated the Great Sea. Because it's a lot of like nothing, but there were things you could do along the way.
Where they like for me, I love the Great Sea, and yeah, I just feel like this is like way, way less interesting version of that.
It seems less big too.
It is less big because so much because it's disjointed. You can't explore it free. You have to go from place to place.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like the birds and stuff you get. But again, some of the side characters I think is great. I think Goose is one of my favorite side characters in the Zelda game, because he has such a great character arc. I think it's very hard to beat Tetra and Link from Wind Waker because they're such great characters. Up until she is revealed to be Zelda, because I feel like once she's revealed to be Zelda, she takes a back seat. But Tetra introduction and Wind Waker and her the whole pirate thing is so great. But I think after that, I think Skyward Sword, Link, and Zelda are probably my second favorite in terms of like their school, you know, their school age friends.
They have a great relationship.
Yes.
In this game, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, general consensus was, I think, three of the four of us that played it for VG Club did not like it. So
that's fair.
I don't like it, but I'm so desperate for Zelda that I might, because it's just one I could download.
You're like, it's there.
Yeah, but like, my complaints about it have always been the same and have not changed. And
Why not just wait the 2 or 3 months until Ocarina of Time remake?
Because I don't believe it. I don't believe it's coming. I just don't.
This is so fascinating. I'm so curious. Because I was like, so on the Wii, Skyward Sword has a 93. On the Switch, it has an 81 on Metacritic. So that is a 12-point swing, which is a lot. Because that means, I assume, there's a lot fewer 10 out of 10s.
There were a lot.
It's a revisit. Like, yeah, you know, it's like we're looking back on something, like different things. But,
Nintendo, please give us the HD versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, though.
I want Twilight Princess so bad, dude.
All right. Well, that's what we've been playing. Earl thinks that we'll hear more about Zelda at TGS, because that seems to be the date that he gave there.
Oh, I didn't even know that. But again, because originally I was like, oh, it has to be a Spider-Man. And I'm like, what else does Sony have out this year? Because we have to get a teaser for the movie this year.
Yeah.
It's out in May, but...
But we also watched a movie, and Tony watched it too.
I really did.
We watched DOA Dead or Alive.
Thank you. I hate that name so much, but yeah, I can't awful. Not say it.
2006?
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, I don't know what to say about this movie. So I will just read the Wikipedia. DOA Dead or Alive is a 2006 action film based on the fighting game franchise Dead or Alive. It stars, it's directed by Corey Yan, and it's produced by Paul W.S. Anderson, who, if you don't know by now, has been one of our best friends, Mortal Kombat, and the first, he directed the first Resident Evil, not the second, but I think he's a producer on all of them, and I think he comes back.
Yeah, he produces all of them, and then he comes back and he directs more of them.
Yes, it stars Jamie Presley, Devon Okoa, who is what? She's in the Terminator movie, I want to say.
I remember her as Suki from Fast
and Furious. Oh, Fast and Furious. Okay, that's what it is. I mean, she's like one of those people who has a career that's like very, very short.
Yes.
Because she's also
can't imagine why.
She's also in Sin City, so she does Too Fast and Furious in 2003. Yep. She does Sin City in 2005. She's Miho. She does DOA in 2006, and that's kind of her career.
Yes.
It also features Kevin Nash, and in one of the best, worst performances we've seen, in my opinion, Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts is in this film. He shows up.
He's the bad guy. I mean, he doesn't show up. He's a big part of this film.
Well, I mean, he shows up to get a paycheck, because he's not doing a lot here.
assure you, he is not in those fighting scenes at all.
Oh, he's in a fighting scene. It is awful. No, I mean,
he's in them. He's not in them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everybody else is kind of fighting around him.
Yes. It is, I, oh my God.
Which is annoying because he's supposed to be like
the big the ultimate fighter.
Yeah.
And like the first fight you see, I'm like, why is this so slow? And it's curious. Like, it's like somebody like doing like, okay, you got to do this, you got to do this. And it's like, we can't get him to do it any faster. So we're just going to do it very slow for him. And it is such a random ass turn. But again, the brief synopsis of this movie is, I mean, I can't even say brief synopsis because there's like five different subplots going on here.
So many.
But the main thrust of it is a bunch of people are invited to the DOA Dead or Alive fighting tournament. It's broadcast on this island. There are random fights throughout the island. I don't even remember what the actual prize is, but
money. It's money.
It is money.
Yeah. It's money.
It's literally, you win cash. Cashola.
But that is the crux of it. But then everybody has their own subplot. Like Tina, who is a wrestler, and Kevin Nash's daughter, is there to prove that she's a legit fighter. There's Helena, who is the daughter of the guy who founded the old tournament, who died.
Was murdered, Earl. Murdered.
Is a princess who's looking for her missing brother, who is Habushi, who is the guy from Ninja Gaiden.
No. So he is there, but Ryo Hayabusa is...
Oh, no, he's the bodyguard.
He's the bodyguard. Her brother is there, and her brother is
Hayate. Hayate, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's other people who show up. Oh, there is Christy?
Holly Valance is as Christy. Yes,
who is there for... She's basically there to case the joint with her boyfriend-ish person.
Sure.
Whose name I do not remember.
Max. And
I forget Max. He's there until like the end. But yes, there again, like I said, there's many different subplots that really do not go anywhere. They just kind of exist. And like, because
I think they conclude them all though.
They do wrap them up.
But
they mean nothing.
Yes.
No.
Because Kasumi's
there we're just gonna give up on the money at this point, because you know.
Because Kasumi's there to find her brother, and then is it Ayana there to kill Kasumi because Kasumi abandons her tribe, so she becomes a
shinobi.
Which
apparently,
I don't think. Yeah. I think shinobi just means ninja.
Yes. But
form of ninja. It's not
that plot wraps up because they just become friends, and she saves her when they're fighting Eric Roberts because I think she falls in love with the other dude.
Well, she was always in love with Hayate, her Kasumi's brother.
But I thought she found somebody else because she doesn't. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the order of this movie. So I thought she found somebody else she fought and she fell in love with. And because Hayate's in. Because he goes missing the year before and he's basically preserved so that Eric Roberts, Victor, can. Show his fighting prowess against him, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
It makes no sense. You've had him tied up for a year.
Yes.
But somehow he's in peak fighting condition. What does that mean? You tied him up to like some sort of workout machine, so he's like lifting weights while he's connected to the thing. Like that's not
okay. I had the same exact thought. It's like I want to prove myself. You had this guy.
Well, the other funny thing is, as soon as he lets him go and he like challenges him, he's like, okay. You will either, if you fight me and defeat me, I will let your friends go free. Or if you refuse to fight me, I will kill them all. And I'm like, those are not opposites. Like, what are you talking about?
But yes, I was like, I was like, wait, am I missing this? Because, like, this guy should be out of shape, out of breath.
He should be flabby.
He should, he should ask to stretch for a bit.
It'd be funny if he's just like, I got to stretch first before we do this.
He should have. He was kidnapped for a year. And then I forget the creepy Weatherby.
They keep mispronouncing his name on purpose, so it's hard to remember what it actually.
Wallaby.
And then he turns out to be a Kurok, but I'm like, you're super creepy because like he's spying on these because like there's camera set up everywhere. And who is it? It's Helena who ends up like. He has a crush on Helena because he's been watching on the video feed. And he talks to her and she's like, yeah, let's go for this.
Okay. She's like, fine, you'll do.
Yeah. But
Creepy guy. The
tournament's kind of breezed through. There's some fights we see, but a lot of them are people we don't get to. Like the first round in particular, it's like a bunch of people we do not know fighting people we kind of know. Well, let me rewind this.
Okay. You get like a montage of finishing.
You get a montage of people get it. I do like how they're recruited. I do like that everybody gets kind of like the intro screen. I like that the first round tries to be cutesy, like House of the Dead. We're going to put up a little fight screen and people are going to have like health meters and stuff like that. Makes no sense whatsoever in the movie because I don't know how you gauge a health meter for actual people.
Well, they got those nanites in their bloodstream. They're like monitoring them.
But how do you...
yeah, I mean, like, well, you just gotta suspend your belief, Earl. Yeah, nanites or.
And for example, Kevin Nash, Bass Armstrong, him and his daughter fight is like whoever goes in the water first. So that's not nanites. That
they really just they all just set up their own rules too.
Because she also fights. Is it her? Her fights Zach. The guy with the funky haircut.
Oh, the guy with the hair.
He's the one that keeps trying to hit on her.
Yeah.
They start a fight after the volleyball. He's like, you're going to ruin the party for everybody. She's like, no. Then we'll fight tomorrow at this thing. I'm like, okay, can you do... I thought it was like once the fight started.
They're just like, yeah, we'll do this tomorrow. We're good. Yeah. Well, that was the same with Kevin Nash and his daughter. Which is a funny scene where he busts in and she's in bed with Christy. they're just like sharing the bed, but it's a pretty funny scene.
We're sleeping together. Literally, we are in bed together. Yes, and I like how progressive it is. But again, it is like one of those things. And I will say all this. It all sounds stupid, and it is. But the movie's also in how stupid it is. The movie's not trying to be serious. The movie's not trying to like be legit. Like, this is an actual fighting game. This is an actual fighting tournament. And these are actual stakes. The movie understands what it is, and it embraces it so well. And I think that's what works for it in my view. It's like, this is a dumb movie, but it's a dumb, entertaining movie.
I was definitely entertained.
Yeah. I was not bored. I did not feel bored.
No.
I mean,
it focuses a lot on the eye candy elements. It's like...
But oddly enough, not as much as DOA does.
Ass. Like, it's a whole lot of...
Yeah, what did you say, Tony, earlier today? Physics and clothing optional?
Yes, physics and clothing optional.
Yeah.
And then you get a random-ass volleyball scene.
It was a distraction. They were distracting the villain. I'm not really sure how. And of course, the person who was breaking in during the distraction was fighting millions of guys.
No, that wasn't that secretly. Wasn't the volleyball. Oh, no, that was the
that was during the volleyball tournament. Yes, he was fighting all those guys.
Yes, and then somebody threw like a ninja star into the volleyball and that ended the whole thing. I'm like, they had no way out of this, but sure, we're just throwing a ninja star into it.
I think it's funny. It's like I've never played DOA or the volleyball game, but I am familiar with the characters enough to the point where the people they have chosen to play them do not have the assets that the video game characters have. They are all very pretty women. that they have chosen here.
Yes. But they are not.
Well, those assets are not possible in real life, I believe.
That is true.
I mean, they are possible, but you'd get a bunch of people who cannot act. You get a bunch of porn stars who are just
well, you have both things, though. You could get a bunch of porn stars who wouldn't be able to do the fighting scenes. So you need, like, some sort of compromise to be made.
Yeah. It's like the actresses they have, all very pretty, all able to at least hold it together well enough. Like, the dialogue is bad, but they're able to go with it and make it seem fun. Where if you got porn actresses,
it would have been so bad. But
I wouldn't watch that movie. But...
Yeah, I would watch it too.
But I'd also want to call out that the pirate that tries to jack Tina's yacht.
Yes.
Is Yu Kang from the Mortal Kombat movies.
Oh, really?
Is it? That's funny.
So that's a really fun kind of connection. But yeah, it is. Again, the best thing I can say is do not go into this movie with any expectation of a cohesive, because the plot makes no sense. I don't understand how the glasses work. And he does a demonstration of the glasses, like, thank you for giving me my money. I'm like, when did we establish that he was selling this to people that were watching this demonstration? Maybe I was checking out. But
that was never a plot point until that very moment.
Okay. Like, did I miss something here? I didn't know there were other people watching it. I thought you were just showing off.
Why are these two there to steal this giant pot of money? Why is there a giant pile of money?
Yes. Why
on this random island that you have to parachute to get to? I don't understand.
I did like that. It was so dumb. Like, we're gonna have this challenge where you have to jump out of this airplane and also land on an island and make your way to the castle before nightfall. It's like, this is such a dumb stipulation.
It is so dumb. But I'm like, also like, you know what? You folks are embracing how dumb this is, because like, why? None of this makes sense. Because they throw like batarangs at them with the DOA logo to invite them to the tournament, and I'm like. It's like, because I think Tina literally is after she beats up the pirates. I think Kasume is after she escapes. Christy is after she does that. She robs like a casino and she goes in the elevator in this brown panties. And like, the guy's just like staring at her. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. But again, it is so dumb, but so fun.
The one other thing I wanted to call out before we kind of wrap up this was we talked about the money that Max and Christy are trying to find, that Helena has some code or something on
tattooed on her body.
Yeah, it's tattooed on her body. They do get that, and then the way Max has to go, it's a sliding block puzzle from a video game. Where he pops one out, has to slide it into place, like straight out of like Resident Evil or something. It was so dumb. Very stupid. I had a good time with it. I could see where the $30 million went. Like they had to actually pay these actors and actresses, so
yeah, that's pretty much it, because they did not spend any money on the special effects, which are terrible. Not at all.
And they definitely did not spend any money on trading Ed Roberts, so
no
they backed like $2 million up to him. We're like, you'll do this, right? He's like, sure. I'll wear pajamas.
He's like, yeah, don't even give me a script, I got this.
All right, so where are we ranking this? A, B, C, D, F, S, S plus. What are we doing?
Okay, I gotta get this, my looking at this list, I have to put it like it would be like a B minus for me, because I don't think it's not Tomb Raider, it's not Resident Evil, it's not Doom. But I have to put it above Double Dragon.
Okay. Well, how about I do this? I'm gonna shift everything. Because we don't really have a B minus, but I'll put it.
I know, but yeah, like the
call
end
it
of
B. Call it B.
Well, he said it's worse than Lara Croft, the Resident Evil, and Doom,
which are B's. But I'm trying to think of like in terms of. Like I don't, I think these are, yeah, because these are organized. I think these are, no, these are organized by dates, aren't they? That makes sense. I was like, yeah. I'm thinking
is it
of
worse
like,
than those movies, which are not great.
I think those movies are more cohesive, but I don't, like, it's a really, calling a spade, I've watched this multiple times. Not this week, but I do enjoy this movie because it is such a, it's kind of like the spirit of Street Fighter meets what House of the Dead is trying to go for, where it's like, yeah, we'll integrate some of the video game concepts here, and
run in a better way.
Yes.
All right, I created a new little spot for you there, Earl. It's in between B and C.
There we go.
Tony, where
I'm going to be less ambivalent than Earl. I'm just going to give this movie a solid B.
Okay.
I liked watching it. It was entertaining. Do I think it's good? No, but you know, it did the job.
Tony giving this a B is like a giant endorsement because Tony
because
is giving
what I
the
give
most
other...
Fs. Like, all right. So it sounds like we will, as a group, rank this a B. Then,
are you putting it B too?
I have it as a C.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It's fun movie.
It's very fun. It's I think it's up there with the original Mortal Kombat in terms of like not like I would never ever say this is a good movie.
Yes.
But it's a very fun time. It's an hour and a half ish. It does not overstay its welcome. I will say I do love that it kinda ends with like this tease of a sequel we're never gonna get. So I think they go back.
You know there's no more of these coming. It's not happening.
What was there? Was there an after credit scene?
No. But like, it ends with them like fighting, like a bunch of people attacking.
Oh,
them.
Yeah.
So
yes. All right. Well, Earl, you weren't here last week. Tony had suggested maybe we watch the. And I know this is out of order, but maybe we watch the two new Mortal Kombat movies.
I'm fine. I don't. It's out of order, but I would say, this Mortal Kombat 2 is no different than what we did with Mario Galaxy this year, which is like it came out this year. It's on Max on HBO.
It hit streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it last week.
So maybe in 2 weeks we talk about the two new Mortal Kombat movies, and we'll rate them. We did do the other two Mortal Kombats, right? We did. Violation and Mortal Kombat. All right, so we'll do those next, and then we'll get back on to whatever's after DOA.
It's Resident Evil Extinction.
That's 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll be back in 2 weeks with some Mortal Kombat talk. And I don't know what else. Maybe some Splatoon for me. Maybe I'll have played some with Jeff or Earl by then.
Maybe another video game company goes out of business. Who knows?
It's every week. That's a pretty safe bet, Earl. It's sad,
but
it's a safe bet. All right. Well, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Jeff has already left. So, Earl, say goodnight.
Farewell. So long. Something off you to say. Good night.